We're getting into some big hype there, aren't we? It's something to really cheer about. People are getting excited. You can't turn on a television or anything without them. Somebody is talking about, let's go, let's go, let's go. So this morning, I'm going to talk a little about go. Team, go. Now, I may have a little different take on this thing, but what I want you to do is whenever you see go team, you say go team. You know these young people here should got you all fired up and look like things are really going. So let's go team. Let's talk about Jesus. First Timothy 4:7-8 says, exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. You know, that's really important. He says, you know, exercise thyself to godliness. Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable to all things. So, you know, that's where I want to get my priority. So I'm going to shift this a little bit from the praise of men to the praise of God. Let's take a look at it. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That, to me, is an inspiring passage. You know what the whole book of Hebrews is about? Anybody know what the theme of Hebrews is? What is it? What? It's the better book. If you look all through it, the word better is used over and over and over. God has something better for us in Christ than in the Old Testament. The people were kind of slipping back. They were losing drive. They were maybe just being discouraged, but they were looking backwards instead of forward. The book of Hebrews is a masterly passage, a masterly book on how to keep going forward and how to overcome discouragement and backward looking. So here he's talking about he says we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and so he says lay aside some things and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. What did he say first? Such a great cloud of witnesses. Great cloud of witnesses. What is he talking about? Well, the picture is in an amphitheater. And they're getting ready for the race. And the runners are down, ready to go. And all around them, in this great amphitheater, there's a great cloud of witnesses watching and cheering. How many of you have seen the games, the runners, these things at the Olympics? You seen pictures of those? Okay, doesn't that kind of grab you, inspire you, as you see those runners getting ready to go? The one I liked the most was one of the runners one time fell down and got back up and won the race. I couldn't believe it. Amazing. A great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 11 is God's Hall of Fame. He's just completed this chapter on the great men of God who have already been in the race and who did not yet complete without us. They didn't know what it was all about. And it says here, it starts off, without faith it is impossible to please God. Or it starts off, faith is the substance of things hoped for, things not seen. That's the nature of faith. And then he says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And he says through this, by faith, he says 16 times, he says, by faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, by faith, all of these men endured obstacles and difficulties, striving on for the goal that was set before them. Go team. Now, when you see this, go team, I want you to do a little cheering. Go team.
Go team.
Okay. All right. Every time that comes up, let's hear it. You young people, especially. Let's hear it.
Go team.
A little louder.
Go team.
Okay, now we're getting in the spirit of this team. You can go to the Olympics or something that way, and you can say, go team. Can you say, go team for our team? The race that is set before us. In preparation for this race. You know, you don't just go out there and get in a race and run. How many of you ever run a race? Pretty much, most of us have run a race. Have you ever run in a school race or something that way, which was, all right. Racing is an inspiring thing. And when you get in the race and everybody's going, you know, and you're trying to keep up with the next guy ahead of you, and maybe if you're lucky, you might get out in the front. But you don't win by sitting on the bench. You win by getting in the race, and you win by losing. Did you know that? You win by losing. The person who won't run unless he wins won't win because he isn't going to run. You win by losing if you keep coming back and keep striving, keep driving, keep moving forward. And that's how you prepare. You know how they prepared for these races? They put things on their around their ankles and their feet, heavy things, and they ran with them as hard as they could to strengthen those leg muscles, to get more lung power and more resistance, to be able to drive ahead and keep going in the race. And so when the time came for the race, see, they prepared by this hard work for the race. But then the time when they came for the race, they had to put aside those weights, lay them off. You can't run a winning race with carrying all this baggage with you. And that's what we need to learn as Christians. If we're going to win, we got to pull off some things. You go to the Colossians, the third chapter, and he talks about how we need to get our eyes on the things above. And then he says, you need to put off some things. And then he says to put on some things. We need to lay aside every weight, anything that hinders us. Now people say, well, the Bible doesn't say you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, the Bible doesn't say a lot of things you can't do. But if you want to win the race, you got to put some things aside. You can't do everything you feel like doing. That makes you weak and fat and lazy, and you got to work. Got to put effort into it. Lay aside the weight. And let us lay aside every weight And the sin that does so easily beset us. Now, I don't know what sin he's talking about there. Some say that's talking about the sin of unbelief. Could be. I kind of think it's any sin, anything that God specifically says is wrong, we need to put it aside. We can't do the things that are wrong and be a good athlete. If you want to go out and party all night before the game, you want to use drugs and alcohol and all those kind of things, well, don't worry, don't figure you're going to win the game. You're going to win the race. Lay it aside. That's the preparation for the race that is set before us. Lay aside these things. In 1 John 2:15 through 17, it's kind of a little more specific about some of these things. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know, if we're going to win this race, we can't love all the things that the world loves. If we want to do all their things, if we want to play the game their way, then we're not going to win. So it says, love not the world. Get your heart off of trying to please everybody else and get your focus on the right things. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He can't. These two are mutually exclusive. If we want the love of the Father, we've got to give up the love of the world. Think about it. How does that apply? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are the three driving forces in the world. This is the kind of thing that Adam and Eve ran into that created problems for them. They looked upon the fruit and they saw it was good to look upon. They wanted it because they wanted to eat it. And they thought, well, this is going to make me wise. And right there in the beginning, that's where everything began to fall apart. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We need to learn how to control those things. We have to discipline ourselves to be like God. Says, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So this is where it's really at. If you want to get there, then you need to do the will of God, because that's what's going to last. All the money in the world isn't going to put you as a winner in the race. All of the most beautiful car, the most wonderful, beautiful woman, or handsome man, those things are the world's desires. That's the focus. But the things that are going to get you to the finish line is going to be doing the will of God. That's going to remain. Jesus talked about that, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, don't set your heart on the gold and silver and things that pass away and moth eats and so on, but get your eyes on God. There you go, now you're getting in the spirit. The first thing that you're going to have, or the second thing you're going to have is perspiration. Let us run. And notice who is supposed to run. Us. That includes you and me and the guy that's sitting on the right of you and the guy that's sitting on the left of you. But it also includes me. I have to run. If I'm going to win the prize, it has to start right here. I'm the one. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 26 through 27 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize?" Well, in this race, everyone can receive if they run, if they put aside the weights and sins and run to win for Jesus. "So run that ye may obtain." You have to make some priorities. You can't win the race sitting on the sidelines. You can't just go along and hope that someday you'll get there. You have to make some priorities, put some things away. You have to run in order to obtain. "And every man that strives for mastery is tempered on all things." You have to make some choices. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know, if you cheer for the things here, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But the thing that really ought to bring us out is cheering for the things that are going to last, where it's really going to make the difference. Are we going to get there? "Therefore, so run as not uncertainly. So fight I as not one that beats the air." He says, I don't just get out there and I'm not just boxing the air. He said, "I'm out there to make some real blows for Jesus. But I keep my body under my and bring it into subjection." You're going to have to do some discipline. So often we just think, well, if I go to church, you know, and then I do whatever I want to do. That's not really where it's at. He said you need to have some discipline. We need to make some choices. "Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." So Paul set the example by disciplining himself in this race. There we go. Persistence. He said, do it with persistence, with patience, you see? Patience. Do we have the patience to succeed? Where are we going? 2 Timothy 4, 10 and 11 says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica, Croesus to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." You know, you have to make some choices. Run with patience, persistence. Stick with it. People just, sometimes they run a little ways and they just fade out. And that's sad. Because we want people to win the race. God wants people to win that race. "Only Luke," he says, "with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. He is profitable for my ministry." Mark had kind of faltered at first, but he got back up and he ran that race. And Paul said, he's possible. If you've faltered, if you've fallen down, if you've found yourself not pushing forward like you should, hey, that's fine at that point now. Get back up and go again. Win that race. It ain't so much the size of the fight and the dog, size of the dog in the fight, as it is the size of the fight and the dog. And that's one of my old sayings my dad taught me. I used to have it hanging on my front, on my door, my office door, for a long time. I found that's true. Just hang in there. Here's another one. If you don't let the other guy know he's winning, he may never find it out. You know, just keep moving. Keep pushing. Keep driving. And you'll win. The vision. Looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith. Jesus is the author of our faith. He gave it to us. He provided. You know, sometimes people don't like what the preacher says. You know, I didn't write this book. I'm not to blame for it. Why blame me? Jesus said it. So what we need to do is look unto Jesus, who is the author. He gave it to us. Listen to him. He's the boss. He's the one that's going to be at the end of the finish line. You see, you've got to get your eyes on the right thing. Jesus is the author. And here you can see them in this great amphitheater with the running down the toward the finish line, and they got their eye on the Jesus sitting at the end of the amphitheater, and the sweat and the breathing is hard and it's tough, and they've sacrificed, but they're going to get to the real one who has the solution. Jesus. Yeah, that's where I'm going. Where Jesus is. 2 Timothy 2:5 says, "And if also a man contend in the games, he is not crowned except he have contended lawfully." We have to contend in the games lawfully. We have to follow the rules. And that's how we're going to win. And Jesus is the example of our faith. He focused upon the joy that was set before him. He got his priorities right. He looked to the end rather than the pebbles and the difficulty and the sweat and the problems around him. He had his eye on he focused on the joy that was set before him. And that's how he got there. And he is our example. He endured the cross. Sometimes, you know, being a Christian isn't always easy. We like to tell people, "Oh, it's so wonderful to be a Christian." It is. But sometimes it takes some sacrifice. Jesus didn't get there by taking the easy way. He ran up the hill. He faced the obstacles. He ran into the sunlight. He sweat, he bled, he died. And so he is our example. He endured the cross, and you've got a cross to bear too. Every one of us do. And if we aren't willing to bear that cross, then we're not going to receive the prize either. He sat down at the right hand of God. He ran the race. He got his eye on the right thing. And he got there and he got the reward because he sat down at the right hand of God. And you can sit at the right hand of Jesus too. All of us can be at his right hand. In Galatians 3:1-4, it says, "If ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God." I love this, Colossians, the third chapter. Go home and read it. Colossians, the third chapter, is so beautiful. It starts off with the key thing that will make you win. If you're risen with Christ, now you got to do that, take care of that. Buried with him and raised with him, baptized into Christ. And if you have arisen with Christ, truly not just gone through the water, you know, got dunked. But if you have been risen with Christ, then get your eye on the things above. Look up. You know, somebody, fellow, every time he saw him, he'd ask him, "How you doing?" "Look it up." The next time he saw him, he said, "How you doing?" "Looking up." Finally, one day, the fellow asked, he said, "What do you mean, looking up?" He says, "I'm laying flat on my back." You know, sometimes that's what we need to do. Lay flat on our back and start looking up, seeing Jesus. Get our eye on the things above. And then we're going to be able to get up and run that race. Sometimes that's what happens. Set your affections. What do I love? What do I care about? Not on the things of this earth. You're not going to get out of this place alive. Get ready. Now's your preparation time. Now's the time to run the race. Don't sit down and retire. You may get tired, but you need to run that race. Not on the things of this earth, for you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is Christ your life? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. See, we're going to win that race, and we're going to sit down with Jesus. We're going to appear with him in glory. Jesus is the finisher of our faith. He completes it. You know, there's nothing complete in this earth. It's all temporary. Jesus is the only one who can really complete the process. He's the one that makes everything right. So, and his word is the only way we're going to get the complete truth. So Jesus is the finisher of it. He's the one that's going to complete it. He's the one that's going to make it a success. Jesus is the finisher of our faith. 2 Timothy 4:7-9 says, I have fought the good fight. This is Paul at the end of his race. The last book he wrote, he's writing to Timothy, his young son in the faith. And he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Does that stir you to run this race? Do you want that crown? Are you willing to go through the struggle and the difficulties to get there and have that crown and sit with him when he appears? That's worth it. Is it worth it? If running these races on earth or fighting in these games on earth, if that's important, and people will spend, how much they spend on those tickets? Man. Amazing. There's where their values are. It's amazing. But this is more important because it's our eternal destiny. We need to run with encouragement from Jesus. We need to run with desperation if need be. We need to run this race before us so that we also can receive the crown which the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give when he comes again. Hear it again. Okay. We need to go. We are cheered on by a great cloud of witnesses. A great race has been set before us. We need to prepare, lay aside every weight and sin. We need to perspire. We need to run. We need persistence with patience, it says. The vision and the way we're going to get there is having our eye on the goal, which is Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Jesus is the author of our faith. Jesus is the example of our faith. And Jesus is the finisher of our faith. Are you ready to go?
Yeah,
all right. Let's all be standing and sing Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. He gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Praise the Lord. I heard about glory, he became from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins, won the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He wants me to victory, he needs the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his prayer desire revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And there I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He wants me to victory, he needs the cleansing blood. He was good for me in glory. And I heard about the sheep of gold, he on the crystal sea. The angels singing, and the old redemption glory. And some sweet day I'll sing up there that song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my life is due him. He plunged me through victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. Go team.
Please have a seat.